also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. From henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou, then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Heavenly Father, how we thank you today for your wonderful word. We thank you for its truth and for its power. And Lord, for the fact that as we open the scriptures and you teach us who you are, Lord, I pray that you will please open our understanding, illuminate our minds and our hearts, Lord. And if there's one here today that has never put their faith in Jesus, may this be the day they see he is the way. And Father, I pray you would guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated.
Jesus.
years ago, we had a guy come to our church and visited very first time. And, you know, we were glad to have him, and as we always are for anyone that wants to, you know, come visit our church. And after the service, he came to me and he said something that was interesting. He said, Pastor, would you please drop by my house so we can discuss the Bible? What I didn't realize when I stopped by, it wasn't a discussion. It was a one-sided conversation. His. And he wanted to convert me into his, what we would call, pluralistic way of thinking. Pluralism is very common today. Pluralism has the idea that all religions have the same purpose. That the way to get to God and get to heaven is any way you choose to. It doesn't really matter. They all have the same purpose. Whether you go through a Muslim way, or where you go through the Christian way, or where you go to any way that you choose, because that's basically what religion is about. And so that's what he was trying to get me to understand. The problem is that's not what the Bible says. And I, you know, no offense, but the way I look at it is I'm not so much concerned about what man thinks. I'm concerned about what God thinks. And so we have a biblical mandate. We have a biblical authority that God has outlined for us in Scripture. Now you may be here today and you may kind of have a little bit of that pluralistic thinking. You know, you're not sure. Maybe you come today and you're just trying to, you know, check things out and wanted to hear what does the Bible say? Or what is this thinking that Jesus, how can he be the only way? And so I'm hoping I can help you to understand that. Inside your bulletin, we put some notes there. If you want to take some of those out, there's a few blanks you can fill in. Because God gives us some reasons why that he's the only way. He really tells us very clearly in Scripture why he is the only way. And so let me give them to you. Number one, you may want to write them down. First of all, the first reason is because of the nature of religion. The nature of religion. Now, for us to understand this, we have to define what religion is. So we have to look at it. We have to say, okay, what do you mean by religion? You know, Pastor, aren't we in a religious church? And can I be honest with you? We live in a religious culture. So what do we mean then? How can we define it? I mean, if we're saying that there's the nature of religion, and because the nature of religion, it's different than what Jesus is teaching, what is it? Well, religion is this. You may want to write this down, just kind of a brief definition. I'm sure you could look it up and you know, study it out. You can find all kinds of definitions. But let me give it to you sort of in a very clear, distinct way to understand what we mean by religion, at least what we're going to look at. Religion is the self-effort of man to get to heaven. That's the self-effort of man. In other words, man is trying to get to heaven or to God his way. That's what religion is. We find it in the Bible. It's not just today. It's not just in our modern society, but it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Let's go back and look in the garden, Genesis chapter 3. Would you go with me, please, and open your Bibles to Genesis 3. Keep your finger there in John. We are going to go back to John, but Genesis chapter 3, we find Adam and Eve, the first two human beings on the planet. Sin had now come into the world. And since sin had entered into the world, a strange thing began to take place because man started looking at God differently. Up to that point, they'd seen God in his fullness. They'd seen God as a holy God. They recognized who he was. But when sin came into the world, now their perspective of God began to change. God had told them that if you eat of the tree, you shall surely die. And obviously, this does not refer to physical death, but it refers to spiritual death. So they're separated from God. And now God is summoning them back. And he wants them to come back to him, as God always does, because he's always relentlessly pursuing the sinner. And in verse number 7, I want you to notice with me very carefully what takes place. Immediately after the sin, here's what happens in Genesis 3, verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, let me explain to you something here. Now, we understand this and think of this in the physical nakedness. But in the spiritual sense, it refers to our sinfulness, our sinful nakedness before a holy God. And so what Adam was trying to do, and Eve, is they were trying to cover their sinfulness by making fig leaves, by trying to cover themselves up, though physically, that was the effort, but Jesus wanted us to see in this passage that there's the effort of man physically trying or spiritually trying to cover his nakedness. This is religion. And look what God says. Let's read on. In verse number 8, now they try to cover themselves with these fig leaves, verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now, wait a minute. There, he just revealed it to him, didn't he? He said, I was naked. And then God asked him a very powerful question. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? How did you know that? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now, notice here, this was man's effort to cover his sinfulness. It's religion. So we're defining it biblically as being a self-effort, an effort on our part, an effort in some way that we would try to get to heaven or to God. We'll work our way up. This is not the only place. There's one more place that's very significant in Scripture. Go, if you would, to Genesis chapter 11. It's nice. It's in one book right there, just a few chapters over. Now, God had brought a judgment because of sin. And we know that there was a flood that came according to the Bible. And Noah and his children were with his family. They were on the ark and God saved them. But we know here that the descendants of Noah, according to Genesis chapter 11, decided that they thought they could get to heaven through religion, self-effort, man's way. And notice what it says in verse number 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone and slime for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. And the Lord God came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the peoples of one, and they all have one language, and this they begin to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them which they had imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their languages, that they may not understand one another's speech. So here's what God said. God says, look, you can't go to heaven through religion. You cannot get there man's way. And that's what he's driving home. That's the point. But the nature of religion is it's a self-effort. It's that which man does. And I must tell you today that there's a lot of religion in our world. I mean, there's a religion everywhere. Man's trying. And I'm going to tell you this. It's a strange thing to me, but there are some Christians who know Christ, but they're trying to please God through religion. And I'm going to call that religion, and what I mean by that is this, that they think that somehow or another, through my self-effort, that I'm going to make God happy. Can I tell you this? We need to understand that it is not religion that God accepts. That's not what God is looking for. God's not looking for our religion. He's not looking for our religion as a believer. He's not looking for our religion as a person who has never met Jesus Christ. But here's something I found about religion that's most interesting. Even the person who is the strictest, most religious person on the planet, his religion always leaves him hopeless. Because he's always thinking, I've got to do more. I've got to do more. I've got to do more. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. So the nature of religion is that which Jesus says is not acceptable with God. But what are some claims of religion? This is very, very significant. So I hope you're following. In this pluralistic society, many people believe something like this, that all religions are right. That all religions, again, are going the same direction. But here's my question. Have you listened to what they teach? They all don't teach the same thing. It'd be impossible to kind of buy into that way of thinking because all religions do not teach that way. Now, here's something most interesting. Here's what religion does. Watch this. Religion has a prophet that leads his followers to God. In other words, he'll help us find God. That's what religion does. Religion has prophets that do that. But Christianity has God who comes and finds us. Are you with me? You see the difference? So religion then, having this claim that you know, we get to a prophet will take us to God, and that's how we get there, and we know that he's leading us that direction, where we have and understand as a believer in Jesus Christ that we have Jesus, who is God, that came and found us. That's so important. And if Christ is right, then Christianity has to be better than religion. It has to be, by very nature. Now I would to say that, I had a gentleman say to me one time, man, that is really narrow. Well, there's just some things that are facts about life. Here's a fact. Number one, you don't eat for 2 months, you're probably going to die. That's narrow, isn't it? Here's another fact. If you go in the water and you go all the way underneath and you go to the bottom of a pool or whatever it is and you try to breathe, you're going to drown. Narrow, isn't it? No, it's a fact. And what I'm saying is this, we understand that just because we as believers look in the scriptures and see the facts, it doesn't necessarily mean we're narrow. It just means we're simply saying, hey, these are the facts. And the facts are clear. Some believe that all religions are wrong. I've had some people say something like, oh, you guys are all wrong. You guys got it all wrong. None of you have it right. The only way that a person can say that is to say that you know the truth then. And all the rest of us are wrong. To say that you know the truth and that you have it, that would be a person who would say, well, you know, all religions are wrong because you're saying somehow that that you have an inside knowledge on truth that nobody else knows, or whatever the case is. And sometimes that becomes a part of what people get into. You know, all religions have damaged our society and hurt us and all those kind of things. And by the way, they kind of lump, have you ever noticed, they lump Christians and Christianity and religion, they lump all that together. And we're hearing a lot of that, that's the effort to drive out anything to do with God in society. But to do that, to believe that, would be to reject clear facts. Facts of right and wrong. Facts of the physical and spiritual. Facts of the temporal and eternal. To drive and get rid of all that would be to basically give up certain facts that we understand. By the way, have you ever thought about it this way? That without that, belief in God affects the conduct of a society. It's very, very important. So, why we say that Jesus can be the only way? The first reason is because of the nature of religion. Religion is different than Christianity. But here's the second one, because of the confession of Christ. Jesus confesses in this passage some things that are very significant. We talk about being, you know, how can he be the only way? The first confession he makes is that he claims to be the Son of God. Think about it. Jesus claims in verses 10 and 11 of John chapter 14 that he is the Son of God. There's no doubt about that. That's what he says. He holds these claims. They're very bold. In fact, in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17 and 18, it speaks of him, and here's what it says. And when I saw him, I felt at his feet as dead, and laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, for I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and death. Now, here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying that for us to be able to go to God, for us to be able to have that access to God, we must go through the key. He has the key. That's what he's saying. He's saying that because he came from God as the Son of God, that he has the key of death and life. That's what the scripture says. Those are bold statements. And Jesus really was crucified because he boldly made that claim. That was one of the reasons why he was crucified. Because they said, he's claiming to be God. But second of all, I want you to notice in here, that's not the only claim that he has. That's not the only confession. Here's the second confession. Notice what he says in verse 6. I'm the way. I'm the way. He claims himself as being the way. Now, let me explain to you what that means when he says, I am the way. It's really, really interesting. You know, I took, and I minored in Greek when I was in college, okay? And I spent 30 hours studying and learning all this vocabulary, reading the New Testament and all that, and I only get to use it a couple times, so this is one of them, all right? But here's what it says. Here's what Jesus is saying. I am the way. That's what he's saying. He didn't say, I am one of the ways. He doesn't say that I might be the way. He says, I am, and notice, the way. That's what he says. Now, that's pretty powerful. He claims as being the way. In other words, he's the way Muhammad is not. He's the way Buddha is not. He's the way mankind is not. He's the way. That's what he's saying. He's saying that if you want to go to God, that religion says there are many ways, but Jesus says, I am the way. That's what God says. And there is only one way to come to him, and that's through his Son. That's what he says. Now, those claims are very, very powerful. And I will tell you this. With those claims and confession that Jesus gives here, it separates Christ from everybody else. Because you see, the truth of the matter is, not only is Jesus Christ claiming that in his life, but he proved that when he went to the cross and died in our place, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day. That's why he says, I'm the life. In other words, you can't take his life away. Jesus wasn't really, he wasn't crucified in the sense that they killed him. He gave up his life for every one of us. That's why he did. So when he says, I am the way, we have to understand that if we're sitting here today saying, well, you know, preacher, you know, I'm a Catholic, or I'm a Methodist, or I'm a Presbyterian, or I'm a Buddhist, or whatever, and we're thinking that that's what it's about, we've got this thing mixed up. Because it is not about our religion or our label. It's about Jesus Christ. And that separates him from the pack. He's totally different than anyone else. Because we understand here that Jesus made another very clear statement in Matthew when he said these words. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. You know what he's saying? Here's what he's saying. He says, look, if you want to go to heaven, I'm the way. In other places, he says, I'm the door. In other words, Jesus says, I'm the only way that you can go to the Father. That's it. There are no other ways. So you don't find me as a pastor having people who are of religion sitting on our platform praying, because we understand that Jesus is the only way. In fact, they wouldn't come at my invitation anyway, because Jesus is the only way. Are you with me? That's what he says. That's his claim. But then the third claim I want you to notice here is this. He claims to be the truth. Someone has said all religions basically are valid and teach the same thing. To believe that is to say that, to believe that someone is wrong or someone is right, we've been called, well, you're just an extremist. Yet all would question, if they were to say, okay, well, religion is extremism, all of us would have to question, wait a minute, what do you mean we're extremist? Now, here's how this works, okay? Maybe you've heard of the story, but there were five blind men who were walking along, and they came up to an elephant. And when they came to this elephant, they were asked to describe the reality of what they felt. And so one guy said, oh. And he grabbed the trunk of the elephant and began to feel the trunk of the elephant. And he said, oh, it's long and it's flexible. And another guy who grabbed one of the legs of the elephant said, oh, no, can't be. That leg is stable. It's not flexible. It's not moving. And then another grabbed the tail of the elephant. And he says, oh, no, it's floppy, and it's furry, and it's light. And the guy on the other side, he grabbed the tusk. He said, oh, no. It's really hard, and it's pointy, and it could stick me, and... They were describing the reality of an elephant. To them, that's all they could see. But we can see much more than that, because we're able to see with our eyes. Now, what those who struggle with this idea of religion think, that, you know, everybody sees something different in the reality of God. That somehow that you might think of a trunk, and somehow you might think of the tail, and somehow you might think of the leg, and somehow you might think of the tusk, or whatever it is. You might think of it differently, but it's all the same reality. Well, let me tell you this. Let me assure you of this. That to someone to believe that would have to say that you have superior knowledge. To say that would believe, you'd have to believe that somehow or another, that you can see something nobody else can see. And here's my question then. If someone say, well, all religion's bad, and all churches are bad, and all Christians are bad, and everybody in the church is hypocrite, and all of those kind of things, here's my question then. How could anyone possibly know that no religion can see the whole truth unless they themselves have the superior, comprehensive knowledge of spiritual reality you just claim that none of the religions can have? I mean, how can that be? How can we do that? In other words, for someone, by the same judgment that we cast, we are casting judgment on ourselves to believe that. You see, Jesus' claim that he is the truth means that any truth other than what Jesus says is not truth. That's what he's saying. For example, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, here's what Jesus said. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me that is in heaven and that is in earth. In other words, God is saying that he gave me all authority, all power, all knowledge. Another passage, when Thomas doubted the Lord Jesus, he doubted. And I'm going to tell you this, doubts are very normal for man. Very normal. And when Thomas doubted that Jesus was who he says he was, the Bible said that they claimed that he had risen from the dead, and Thomas wasn't there when he arrived in the upper room. And by the way, the reason why is because it was on Sunday night, and Thomas was home watching the Super Bowl. And I'm going to tell you, when you miss Sunday night to watch the Super Bowl, you'll have doubts. Sorry, I had to throw that in. It was just kind of worked right into that. But what Thomas did was when Jesus came back and he saw him, here's what he said. He spoke, he says, my Lord and my God. Jesus spoke on another occasion in John chapter 8 when they were questioning him and his birth and his validity. And here's what he said. He said, before Abraham was, I am. That meant that Jesus was in the beginning before there ever was Abraham. That was a surprise. In John chapter 5, in verse number 22 and verse 23, the Bible says this. It says, for the Father judgeth no man, hath committed all judgment to the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent me. What is he talking about? He's saying that Jesus Christ is going to be the ultimate judge. He's going to be the one that fulfilled the law. Look, you can't be a judge for eternal things unless you are perfect and you are God. That's what he's saying. And what I'm saying to you today is that the very nature of religion destroys the fact that anyone can go to heaven because of religion. And what I'm saying is this, because of the claims of Christ, we cannot say that somehow or another there's some other pathway, because Jesus says, I am the way. But there's one more reason I want you to notice. And that's because of the commitment of man. Now, the scriptures is very clear in God's calling us. And I'm going to give you the options we have. There are only two options. That's the next 2 points. There is a call for salvation. If we want to know God, we want to go to heaven, we want to know that beyond a shadow of a doubt that our lives are settled, we're going to heaven, there's only two pathways. Number one is the pathway of performance. Performance. The idea here is that I must perform and do good things to get to heaven. That I have to do a lot of things that I have to clean up my... And here's the confusion. Whenever someone says, hey, look, we'd like to ask if you would like to accept Christ as your Savior, the very first thing people think in their mind is, oh, no, I got to really clean up my life. That's what they think. So when someone comes to a church, you say, you invite them to church, and they say, oh, no, you know what? No, I can't live up to that. Or they think something like this, oh, you know, I got to be like you. I mean, that's how people think. Are you with me? You guys follow me. Look, we live in a skeptical world. And I'm just being real transparent with you. That's what people are struggling with. All of these things that I'm telling you, it's there, it's real. I'm dealing with them myself personally. I'm talking to people about them. I listen to what they're telling me. And they're saying that you say to come to church, that means I'm supposed to join your church, I'm supposed to live like you. And what they think is it's all about what they perform. Now watch this. Here's the mentality of that to its fullest extent. Here's how it works. They think something like this. Religion then says, I obey, therefore I'm accepted by God. So if I want God's acceptance, then I have to do good things, and I have to be really good, and that means I have to be here tonight, and I can't go to the Super Bowl. And I have to be here next Sunday, because, you know, if I want God's favor, I want God's goodness, and I want God's acceptance, then I got to do good things. But the gospel says, I'm accepted by God through Jesus Christ, who has done it all for me, therefore I obey. Are you with me? See the difference? In other words, my religion says that I got to do these things so I can be accepted, but believers understand that when we have Christ as our Savior, we are already accepted in God's sight because of Jesus Christ, therefore I do want to obey Him. Totally different concept. And what God is saying is that you can either pick number one, the pathway of performance, or number two, the pathway of the person of Jesus Christ. And what matters is grace. And let me explain to you what grace is. Grace is unmerited favor. In other words, grace is that which is afforded and given to me, not because of something I earned, it's because of Jesus' great love for me. He's willing to die for me. That's called grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, the Bible says. God states that you and I, that we can go to heaven through believing on Jesus Christ and His confession and what He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and that by believing in Him, I don't have to perform. It's already been done for me. The difference between religion and God's grace and the person of Christ is that in religion, it's do. In Jesus Christ, it's already been done. Thank God He's already done it all for me. And I'm going to tell you this. If I have to perform, I'm going to fail before the day's out. I'll tell you that right now. You know why? I'm still a sinner. There's nothing that I can do. There's no good things I bring to Him. Nothing I bring, but simply, I just simply, to the cross I cling, as the right songwriter says. Galatians chapter 2, Paul wrote to a church and believers who were struggling with the issue of religion and Christianity. Performance and person. And here's what he said. He said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed on Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So here's what God says. The third reason is because we have to make a commitment. We have to decide. God's summoning us. Just like He did for Adam and Eve when He found them in the garden after they'd fallen into sin. Today you're here, and I want to tell you something. I know God, and I believe that God's pursuing every person in this room. And He wants you to believe on Him. And here's the difference between religion and Christianity. Religion clearly is that which we work to do. But with Christianity, it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. A wonderful relationship. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your Lord. We may come here today thinking, you know what? All religions are the same. All churches are the same. Everything's all the same. It's all doesn't matter. We all try to do the same thing. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And what Jesus is saying is, he is the only way to heaven. Religion can't take us. That's why we need Jesus Christ. See, here's what I believe in. Listen to me very carefully. I think most of you in here will agree with me on this. I don't think that God's looking for churchanity. I think he's looking for Christianity. You know what I'm saying? He's not looking for membership in any kind of church, Baptist, any other kind of church. He's looking for a relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. Do you know him today? That's what he's asking. And so we make a choice, performance or the person of Christ. Heavenly Father, Lord, as our heads are bowed, Lord, we know that you tell us how you can be the only way. And Lord, I know that sometimes even in our own minds we still struggle with the reality of that, but yet, Lord, it's so true. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us in the moments that we have in the service as our heads are bowed, to listen to the searching of the Holy Spirit in my life. Lord, if there's one here today that has never put their trust in Christ, I pray that today would be the day. Lord, I pray that they would understand there is a difference between performance and the person. And I pray, Lord, for those who are believers, that we would realize that, Lord, not only are we saved by grace, but we live by grace. And Lord, grace is not in a sense that we have the license to sin, but it means that we, Lord, can let God's grace work in my life, and I want to obey you in my life. And while our heads are bowed and no one looking around, please, I wonder if there's someone here today would say, you know, preacher, just as you're preaching, God spoke to my heart about my need of Christ. You know, we don't even talk about religion or church or churchianity or any of those other things. But be honest. You would say, you know, I guess I've always thought that, you know, I have to be good to get to heaven, or I have to do these things. I didn't realize that it's through the person. And God's speaking to my heart. He's summoning me even now. And while our heads are bowed, is there someone would say, that's where I am, preacher. That's what God's speaking to my heart about. I'm not sure, but I need the person of Christ in my life. Is there someone here, while our heads are bowed, with no one looking around, just between me and you and God, you would say, God's speaking to my heart. Pray for me. Is there someone like that? Would you let me pray for you? I'm not asking you about your church background. I'm asking you about your... God bless you. Somebody else? Somebody else? All right, God bless you. Somebody else? I know that I need Christ. I know I need that. Somebody else? Pray for me, preacher. Thank you for those. Is there somebody else who would say, yes, that's me. That's where I am. Pray for me. Now, while our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, let me talk to Christians a minute. Those of you who know Christ, perhaps you've been like me, maybe you've just kind of stumbled along in your Christian life, and I guess maybe you thought you're supposed to perform too, and honestly, it's a relationship. You know, we're not trying to stay in good graces with God by our goodness, because our goodness is not good. It's the grace of God that makes all the... Take the pressure off and realize it's God's grace. Now, that doesn't give us an excuse to sin. It actually gives us motivation to not sin. But while our heads are bowed, I wonder if there's a Christian who would say, you know, Pastor, God's speaking to my heart about this relationship. And I need to develop that more thoroughly. I need to understand that more. God's spoken to me. Is there someone like that? Would you let me pray for you? All right, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else? All right, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Put your hands down. Now, just before I pray, would you allow me this just this one moment If you're here today and you raise your hand, you say, you know, I'm not sure that I have the person of Christ in my life. I'm not sure about that. But I'd like to have that. I'm going to ask you if you would, if you'd be willing to pray with me. And I want you to understand there's no magic prayer. There's no special, you know, miracle in praying. But the Bible does say that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That name of the Lord is Jesus Christ. There's no other way but Him. And while our heads are bowed, I wonder if there's those who raise their hand, maybe some who didn't, would say, you know, I'm willing to pray that prayer, and let me help you with a prayer. Look, the prayer doesn't save you. It's Jesus that does the saving. It's Jesus that makes the difference. The Bible says we're to believe on the Lord Jesus, and let me pray with you. And as I pray this prayer aloud, if you just pray it in your heart, dear Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Christ died for me. And to the best of my ability, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. There is no other. And I'm asking you to save me today, to be my personal Savior, so that when I die, I'm going to heaven. I can have the confidence to know that He's my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, while our heads are bowed, I wonder if there's someone that prayed that prayer with me. Really meant it, and you prayed it, and you believe that God saved you today. Would you let me rejoice with you? If you slip up your hand and say, yeah, I prayed that prayer, preacher. I prayed that, and God saved me today. Is there someone like that? Did you do that? All right, can we stand on our feet very quietly while our heads are bowed? Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for every person in this room. Lord, I pray that somehow I preach what you laid on my heart out of John chapter 14. And Lord, you claim to be Christ. You claim to be the way. Lord, there is no other way. And I pray that every person, when they leave this room, will know that Jesus is the way. I pray, Lord, you'd make it clear to them. Lord, all I can do is give the message out. But Holy Spirit of God, you do the work in the heart, please. Save those. For believers, may they develop a growing relationship with you. Not try to perform the Christian life, but just live out the Christian life from this growing relationship. We pray, Lord, you'd meet the needs in the moments we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. As our heads are bowed, the music is playing. If you need to come, I invite you to come right now. Maybe you need to come and trust Christ as Savior. Maybe you prayed that prayer. If you did, would you let someone pray with you and rejoice with you? Maybe take you aside and share a few verses with you. Maybe today that you might be here and you might say, you know what? I'm a Christian, but I need to give up and stop trying to perform and just be what God wants me to be. As our heads are bowed, no one looking around. I'm sure if you wish somebody, they'll come with you. Maybe you come here today and you're just searching. You let someone kind of show you, open the scriptures and show you what it means. Perhaps God's led you to join Calvary Baptist Church. This is the place for you. I would invite you to come right now as we wait. Today and you need to come and just pray for somebody who needs Christ. Maybe you've kind of got caught up into the pluralism of the world, the coexistence of humanity, instead of really understanding what the Bible says. Christians, it'd be a good opportunity to come and pray right now. may look this way for just a moment. Jeff and Gigi came to join Calvary Baptist Church, and we'll hear their testimony and present them. Thank you for coming. We're excited about that. And so I want to hear your testimony and all that, and we'll present you at the next service. Okay, God bless you. Thank you so much for coming and joining the church, and let's make sure and get to know them a little bit. And so we'll hear that. And now at this time, we're going to take our offering, and let's just pray for God to give us a good offering. We've been really behind this last month, and we got behind. And out in the, by the way, out in the lobby, there are some accounts payable sheets, and we kind of presented that to our Wednesday night church. If anyone would like to try to help with some of those bills, we're getting a little bit behind in that. So if you'd like to do that, I don't like to normally miss it on Sunday morning, but I think there might be some people say, you know what, I could help in some way. There's some things out there. Maybe you could go with somebody if you'd like. And if you have any questions about any of that, see Brother Shepherd. He'd be more than happy to discuss that with you and how you can go about doing that. And then, of course, just our regular offering, let's be faithful as we give unto the Lord and pray for God to bless. Shall we? Brother John, come pray for us.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you for this time and time in that service, oh God, to offer up our offering and to give wholeheartedly, Father God. Father, I pray that the blessings and the giving, oh God, would be used for your glory and you alone, Father God. Help us be able to catch up with our bills, Father God. And Lord, help us to be faithful, oh God, because we know the source of blessing comes from you, oh God. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
A few things before you go home today. If you take out your handout as you came in, just a few things. Next Sunday will be Friend Day, and we're really excited about Friend Day. We're going to do something a little different this year, and we're really excited. Friend Day is always a great time of the year to invite your friends. Be preaching next week again, continuing our series on Why God and Why Wars Fall in the Name of God. I'll be talking about that. We'll be presenting again a little bit more about how religion and Christianity is different, and be looking at some of those issues. So I hope you'll make sure to invite your friends. There are some tracks, little handouts, I think, out in the lobby. We have as well out in the Welcome Center. If you're going to go by and grab some of those cards and hand them out to your friends, that would be a blessing. But what we're going to do next Sunday morning is at 10:15, we're going to be having a breakfast meeting, Greek breakfast time. And that would be an opportunity for you to invite your friends to come. You might say, hey, meet us at the church. It's going to be in room 201 through 203. If you can bring something to help with that, that would be great. There's a sign up out in the Welcome Center. If you could just stop by and maybe put on, you know, whatever you could bring. I think there's pastries, main dish, other things. If that would work for you, just need to have those here by 10:15. If you could do that, that would be great. There will be no classes next week, but as far as for the adults and teens, there are children's classes are going to be going on as normal. And I encourage you to come, bring your friend. It's an opportunity to get to know them a little bit and get to know each other a little better. So that starts at 10:15. You may tell them 10:15, 10:20, whatever. It'll be kind of a drop-in, and you could pray with them as they drop in. You could pray with them yourself and sit down if they're willing to come and do that. And, hey, if they don't show up for that and come for the 11 o'clock service, that's good too. Amen. And so keep that in mind. Fresh Start class will begin February the 16th, meeting in the church office. So if you've recently joined the church and never gone through those classes, I'll be explaining the history, the structure, believe some of the other things about the church. I want to encourage you to come be a part of that. And then immediately after the evening service, February 16th, we'll be having a quick meeting to go over church constitution. Any questions you have about that? Many of you know we're revising our constitution, updating that. And so I want you to make sure you know about that. And then immediately after that meeting, there'll be a meeting for ushers and other things that are important coming up in our church with some of the events. So don't forget about that as well. Just to help you a little bit with tonight's service, you have a DVR. So let me urge you to use that and not miss the Lord. Look, I don't think the Super Bowl should overshadow the church. I just don't. And I think we should honor the Lord. And I don't see anything necessarily wrong with football. I think there's something wrong with putting football in the wrong place. And so, I think that, I want to encourage you to come tonight. I'll be preaching. I'm starting a new series again tonight. It's a I Love series. And so tonight we're going to start off right at the beginning. And so I hope you'll come and be here tonight. 5 o'clock. I'll be done by 5:30. No, I'm just kidding. And so wouldn't do that. But we'll come tonight and be here. And by the way, some are recording the game, so if you know what the score is when you come, don't tell us. We want to be surprised, okay? And so that'd be great. Just to help you with how to invite people or not to invite people, let's watch this video.
The election should be decided within the next 2 weeks. Keep it here on Channel 5. We will keep you up to date, where our news is always live, local, and leg-breaking. And now let's go to the weather with Chip Chipperson. Chip, please tell us you've got some good news for us.
We do have some good news, Hank. We have a jet stream that's reached all the way up to Canada, and it's pushed its way all the way back to us, which means we have some great weather over the next few days. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. I've got some other good news for you, too, Hank.
Nope. What's that?
The good news of the gospel. Want to come to church with me?
Well, that is always good to get good news, and that weather is fantastic news. Thank you, Chip.
Hank, you're avoiding the subject. What do you have to lose besides your pagan lifestyle?
In our next story, it seems that a local man has found a litter of puppies and is looking for a home for them.
It's time for you to come on home too, Hank. Home to the house of the Lord.
So the moral of the story is, if you're a weather person, don't do that, all right? So. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. We will stand together and pray. Again, thank you so much for coming and being with us today. And it's such a blessing. And thank God for you. Make sure if you're a first-time guest, if you would please to stop by the welcome table as you leave, that we might be able to just visit with you briefly. That'd be a blessing. For the kept part, would you come and pray for us? And if it would, please remember to pray for our members. Some of them are struggling right now, especially Brother Flanagan. And I know he would appreciate your prayers. Saw him yesterday. Did look better, but he's still struggling, so just pray for him as well. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we?
Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again to be able to be in your house today. We thank you, Lord, for the word that was given. We thank you, Lord, that as we look to you and realize, Lord, that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father but by you. Father, we look to you now and ask you, Lord, for our brother Flanagan, that, Lord, that you might touch his body and raise him up, give him the strength of the knees, give the doctors wisdom to treat him properly, and Father, that he might be in your hands. And, Lord, Father, we just ask you that your will be done in that situation. Now, Father, as we prepare to go from here, and, Lord, that you might touch our hearts as well, that we might be witnesses for you, that we might raise up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we might be the light on the hill that the world needs to see. And, Father, we might be the salt of the earth, that, Lord, we might to teach others and let them know that Jesus Christ is the one and the only way to heaven. Now, we ask you for your dismissal and for your blessings as we go from here. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Cool is